It's the beginning of a new Zman. Winter Zman. It's the longest Zman. Most probably the toughest Zman. But if you're honest about it, I think it's most probably the Zman that we grow the most from of all of them. Because of the fact that it's a 5 month long haul or 6 month long haul, depending on the year. And whenever you start a new Zman, even though, you know, it started to get cold a little bit and, you know, mood changes, but it's always a fresh start, get a new perspective, set your goals, and look what the future has in store. So that's what's on the back burner. In addition, so we're holding by Parshas Noach. Parshas Noach, to piggyback off of what Rabbi Shurkin talked about in the Sukkah, talked about the fact that the Sukkah and the Anani HaKavod, Rabbeinu Bechaya, Begeder Yisevevenu Yevoinenehu. A person just sits in the Sukkah, a person just sits in the Anani HaKavod, he gets Bina, he gets Lumdus. He doesn't even have to do anything. And he even wanted to taina that if a person schwitzes too much, if a person gets too nervous, if a person exerts himself too much, he shters the sukkah. Which you can imagine ruffled a couple of feathers. But the sukkah and the base medrash, the yeshiva is a sukkah, the yeshiva is an Anani HaKavod. Just by being in a yeshiva, by being in the Anani HaKavod, a person acquires bina. And it's not just the yeshiva, it's not just the Anani HaKavod. If you take a look at the famous Beis HaLevi on Parshas Noach, the Beis HaLevi says basically the same thing about the Teva. The Beis HaLevi, everybody familiar, says that at the time of Noach, so the world had become so corrupt, had become so perverted, that even the animals became deviant. But the Teva was a crisp, clean environment, kept out the outside world. And because of that, so Noach and all of the people that were with him and the animals, so they were able to build themselves and build the world anew. So with that in the background, I'd like to talk a little bit about this environment in the Teva, in the yeshiva, and try to analyze, again, based on this Beis HaLevi, but it's a part of the Beis HaLevi which is much less famous than the other parts. What is it in the yeshiva? What is it in the Teva? What is it in these closed environments that allows us to just steig without almost doing anything? The way that I always put it is there's another element to the Teva as well. When you're in the Teva and the water starts rising, so if you're in the Teva, you're going up and up and up and up and up. The only way to stop that process is if you drill a little hole on the bottom of the Teva or under your seat, so then you plummet to the bottom. But you're in a yeshiva, so then by default, you're going up. But how does it work? There are many ways. But at least one of them I'd like to focus on a little bit, based on this Beis HaLevi. A couple of ha'aris that he has in Gemara's Maimari Chazal, and a very important insight for us. The Parsha says, Ela told us, Noach, Noach, Ish Tzadik. These are the products of Noach. Noach was an Ish Tzadik. Pirush number one in Rashi, Noach, Ish Tzadik, Zecher Tzadik, Levracha. Once you mention a Tzadik, you have to say something nice about him. So Ela told us, Noach, Noach is an Ish Tzadik. Second pshat, Ela told us, Noach, Noach Ish Tzadik. A tzadik, or a great person's ikar product, is himself. That's what we're all here to do. We're here to produce ourselves. We're here to reach our potential. So Ela told us, Noach, what are the products of Noach? Noach Ish Tzadik. The pasuk goes on and says, Tamim haya b'dayraisav, that he was perfect in his generation. Again, famous Rashi, but Rashi is quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin brings a machlekes between Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish. What does it mean, tamim haya b'dayreisav? Amar Rabbi Yechanan b'dayreisav alay b'dayris acherim. In his generation, he was a tzaddik. But in other generations, no. It's like you have sometimes, you know, one of these real son of a gun teachers who gives the hardest tests in the world. And, you know, the flying genius in the class gets a 73. Everybody else gets a 42, a 51, you know. So tzaddik tamim haya b'dayreisav. Why? Because everybody else is getting a 40, so noyach smells good because he got a 73. That's the pshat of Rabbi Yechanan. Reish Lakish amar b'dayreisav, kol shekein b'dayris acherim. No, that's not true. He was a tzaddik in any generation. Certainly in other generations. He was a tzaddik even in this generation. I knew, even though everybody else in the class was getting a 54, which shows that the teacher is a real sadist, he still got a 95. So certainly if he had an easier teacher, certainly if everybody was, you know, everybody was doing what they're supposed to. So that's machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Comes the Beis Halevi, and the Beis Halevi says is that that's the Pashup Shot. The Pashup Shot was Noach able to get a 95 in this Dor HaMavel? But the Beis Halevi says, if you look at it deeper, that's not really what's going on at all. Everybody agrees that Noach was Noach, and everybody agrees who he was, what his Madrego was, and no one's saying he's 73, 95. Everybody agrees that he 76. 82. The whole question is just the diuk akra. Are we bringing out the fact that he was that great in this generation, or are we bringing out the fact that he was a great person? But as far as the metzias of Noach, no difference. But the question on that is then what do you mean, kol shekein b'deres acherim? Where's the kol shekein? How does the kol shekein work? If bottom line is Noach is Noach, so then where's the kol shekein in Deres Acherim? Question number one on the Beis Halevi. Question number two. The Beis Halevi brings a Gemara in Chagiga, a very perplexing Gemara in Chagiga. Gemara Chagiga says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Bara Tzadikim Bara Rishoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Tzadikim, he created Rishoyim. Bar Gan Eden, he created Gan Eden. Bar Gehenim. Now listen to this. Kol Echad Ve'Echad Yesh Lo Shnei Chalakim. Everybody has two Chalakim. One in Gan Eden, one in Gehenim. Echad B'Gan Eden Ve'Echad B'Gehenim. Zocha Tzadik, if the Tzadik is Zeche, Neitel Chelkoi V'Chilek Chavera B'Gan Eden. He takes his chilek in Gan Eden and the other guy's chilek in Gan Eden. Nischai of Russia, the Russia becomes Ratin, not al chelkai, he takes his chilek, v'chilek chavera b'gehenim. And the other guy's chilek in Gehenim. What in the world does that mean? That we like the tzaddik so much that he ends up picking other people's chalakim in Olam Haba. The Russia is such a bum that we decide that we're going to give him two times Gehenim. Well, what in the world is going on over here? And what does this have to do with the fact that there is no machlekes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? And we say that if Noach was good and in a bad generation, so that Kol Shekein, he's going to be good in a good generation. Now, over the course of Ben Azmanim, you go through different experiences, see different things. One of the experiences that I had, nothing really happened. It was just something that I read and gave me pause for thought. There's a new movement in the world now. You're all aware of it, most probably. They call it the Torah Avigdor movement, those little booklets that they give out on the Bima every Friday. To me, it's an amazing thing how somebody can continue to be mashpia, you know, so long after. It's so powerful. But there was one line that I saw, and I discussed it with members of the family. He said in one of these booklets, or they quoted him as saying in one of these booklets, that if I had my way, I would not be talking in English right now. I think it's a violation to be talking in English. Why do I do it? He used to speak Thursday night in the Syrian shul in Flatbush. He says, because nobody over here speaks Yiddish. I don't have a choice. Ah, you'll ask me, in my shul I only speak in English. All the shiurim, his shul was Young Israel of New Lots. Maybe they stopped calling it Young Israel at some point or whatever it is. Young Israel of New Lots. Everything was in English. He says, shul is different. Being the Rav of shul is different. That's business. Business has its own rules. That gave me pause for thought. It's business. You know, Rav Noach Weinberg was known to say the great line. He said, you ask somebody, Western man, you ask him, what do you do? He says, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor. And he used to say that saying you're a doctor, saying you're a lawyer is like, you know, some guy's drinking coffee in the tea room over there, and you say, you know, what are you doing? And you say, well, I'm a coffee drinker. Well, that's what you do with your life. You're a coffee drinker? You're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer, you're not a businessman. You're a Jew. You're a thriving human being. You're developing yourself. It happens to be that in order to earn a parnassah, so then you practice law, you practice medicine, etc. and so forth. That's good for doctors, lawyers, businessmen. For crying out loud, you're a Rebbe, you're a Rav, you're a Rosh Yeshiva, you're a Mashgiach. That's business. At least that was the context. I said, what are you? If you're not a Rav, you're not a Rebbe, you're not a... Well, then what are you? The answer is that it's 100% on the money. If you think about it to the end, there really is no difference in the definition of who you are, whether you're defining yourself as a lawyer or a Rosh Yeshiva, or a Magid Shir, or a Rebbe, or a Mashgiach, or a Rav. All of these are functions that we carry out, formal functions that we carry out. But what every single person is, or what every single person is meant to be, is an Eved Hashem. I'm a worker. I'm here to do a job. I'm here to carry out my function. I'm here to do my job as well as possible. And then to take it to the next level, and this is what the Beis Halevi talks about, is that by carrying out my function, I'm here to make the world into a better place. I'm here to make all the people around me better. Because when I serve, and I do, and I make things better, it doesn't just stop with me. There's a ripple effect that happens on a rational level, and it happens on a supernatural level also, that everybody around me gets better, everybody around me changes. Says the Beis Halevi, how could it possibly be that the Gemara in Chagiga says that you have a tzaddik and that he takes his chelik in Gan Eden and the Rasha's chelik in Gan Eden? How could it be that the Rasha goes and gets his chelik in Gehenim and my chelik in Gehenim? How does it be? How does it work? He says, very pashut. He says, the tzaddik made the world into a better place. So he gets his chelik in Gan Eden, Aden. And the Rasha, whatever good things he did, or at least a large percentage of it, is due to who? Is due to the tzaddik. Without the tzaddik conditioning the environment and being mashpia on him and making the world a place where it's easier to do mitzvahs, the Rasha would do nothing. So he gets a chelak in the Rasha's Gan Eden too. And the Rasha, well, he does the opposite. The Rasha comes in with all of his devices and all of his talk and all of his press and all of his everything, and he pollutes the environment. And he brings himself down, and it makes it so much easier even for the good people to be sunk down. So he gets punished. He gets his chelik in Gehenim, but he also is mishtatev and gets a little bit of everybody else's chelik in Gehenim too, because that's exactly what he deserves. And Zakta Beis Halevi, that's exactly what we mean when we say that there is no machlokas. Noach was on a particular level in his generation. His level was a combination of who he was and how much he worked, but also conditioned by his environment. Noach was not capable. He wasn't like Avraham Avinu, that he was able to rise above his environment without any siyata d'shmaya. And therefore, Noach... Tamim Hayab Dairaisov means is that he was a tzaddik in his generation, but he was minimized by the fact that he was in a bad environment. All the Rishayim who ended up being in Gehenim ended up bringing down Noach with them. And so the Metzias was, he got a 73. Aye, so how could it be that if he was in a good generation and Kol Shekein, then he would be a tzaddik? Very simple. Because if he was in a good generation, so he would have good role models. If he was in a good generation, so you have lots of people to learn from, people who are psyching him up and getting him to be on time for Seder, and people talking with him and learning, and people making sure that he doesn't miss davening. And it ups his level. Every single person is an Ive, not just for himself, but for everybody else around him. And going back to our original question, how does a yeshiva work? That's exactly how a yeshiva works. The reason that everyone in a yeshiva is in an upwardly mobile environment, it's not just, okay, put this Horus Moshe sign on the door, and now everybody is moving up. No. When you have enough people who are committed to doing the right thing and everybody is doing it consistently, so then people, whether they're motivated a lot, whether they're motivated a little, whether they're almost not motivated at all, everybody slowly but surely starts to go up. Why? Because everybody around them is holding their hands and everybody is pushing them, is pushing them in an upwardly mobile direction. I just want to end with the something else that I was thinking about just over Bein HaZmanim. It's not directly Nogea, although there is an attachment. I'm just noticing it. I mean, noticing it for years, but just, what's it called? You ask people in yeshiva, you know, what are you doing in yeshiva? Well, what's your purpose of being in yeshiva? So there are two things that people a lot of times will say, and it's the only thing that they'll say, but it's very, very common. People say, I'm in yeshiva to build myself. Right? I don't know. I'm in yeshiva to build myself. Other thing that people say is, what do you want out of yeshiva? I want to get a geschmack in learning. I want to get, in other words, I want a thrill. I want a thrill in learning. Now, this is my ha'ara. Take it or leave it, you know, but it has to be put in perspective. Imagine you have a guy who is, he's on campaigning to be the next president of the United States, or at least not to be impeached as president of the United States. And he comes in and you ask him, you know, why do you want this job? He says, I want this job so that I can build myself. Or I would really like to be the president of the United States because I really think that that would be geschmack. It would really be a thrill. It would just be, you know, my glory. Now, of course, that's the way that they all think, and that's what's going on in the back of their mind, right? But no one's going to say it. Why do I want to be the president? I want to do a good job. I want to help the people. I want to make this country great again. Whatever your slogan is, right? But no one is going to tell you, I'm here to build myself. What are you, an egomaniac? Yes, you are, but you're not going to tell it to us to our face. Even Trump won't, right? I want to be president because I want to build myself. Now, I'm not saying that it's inherently wrong, because it's true. And people being honest. But you should know, and this is the important thing, that all of the building yourself, or the major part of a person building themselves, and the major part of the geschmack, does not come from looking to build yourself and looking to get the geschmack. Guy's playing a game of basketball so that he could get a geschmack. He won't get it. He's going to keep on missing every single time. They'll throw him the ball and he's trying to get geschmack, so he's not going to be able to catch it. Just going to go hit him right in the face because he doesn't have his eye on the ball. Playing basketball, you're trying to play basketball. You play basketball, you do it well, you'll get a geschmack and you win. You get into yeshiva, you do what you're supposed to. You're Ayved, you work on yourself, on your friends, with your friends. You build yourself. Happens by mistake, Memela. It does. And the geschmack, oh, it's so sweet. But if you're sitting there looking in the mirror, I'm building myself now. I'm going to get a geschmack. It will work. It will feel good. They're like, oh, good luck. Work! That's it. Just do it. Just work, do it. They're thinking about it. The Mishnah Novice, famous Mishnah Novice. Al tachzik teva la'atzmecha kilakach mitzarta. Don't hold on to your gifts. Don't hold on to good stuff, because that's why you were created. So if you're given a gift, don't hold it for yourself. Use it for other people. They're thinking about it, that nowadays, in the past couple of decades, they have a new girsa in the Mishnah. Take out the al. Tachzik teva la'atzmecha kilakach mitzarta. Hold on to all the good things, because that's the reason that you were created. You were created to enjoy all of the good things, all of your gifts, all of the sweetness. A little too cynical, right? But it's the flip side of what we're talking about. You get the geschmack. But the purpose is to just work. To work for yourself, and by you working, everybody around you becomes that much better, because everyone who's on the team gains. So Be'ez Hashem, it should be a great zman. It should be a zman, first of all, of hard work. But along with the hard work, so there are many dividends that just come by themselves. And that's, of course, the sweetness and the thrill of... Everybody knows that learning is. And, of course, with that is building ourselves. And everybody will be in a totally different place, Be'ez Hashem, by the time the end of the zman comes around. As Hashem, I give everybody a bracha that we should have a long, good, hard, enjoyable winter zman together. And at the end of winter zman, no one here should look the same. Everyone should look 1,000,000% better than they do now. Although now's not so bad either. But up and up and up. Have a good Shabbos.